Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Amen, amen. I just want to congratulate all the amazing interns before we sit down. You guys are amazing. I actually have the privilege of overseeing the internship program, and I'm just so proud of each and every one of you. You know, we all have a story, and I get to hear some of the stories that they walk in with, and what God does over 12 months' time is just mind-boggling. Just to see where they came in and to see where they are today is amazing, and some of them have done 2 years, and some of them are going to do another year, and so I'm just so proud of you guys. One more time, why don't we just give it up before we take our seat. All right, you may be seated. On your way down, punch your neighbor. And then pray for healing. It's great to have the Tuggles back in the house. Little baby Asher, is this first service? First service. Make sure he gets one of those mugs. Free drink at the cafe, incredible. He's a cute little chunky guy. Spilling the church, one baby at a time. In the internship, we had people get engaged, we had people give birth. You never know what's gonna happen in the internship program. I think I'm gonna have you guys are gonna hang with me, right? Yeah, let's go. I like having the guys behind you. I kind of feel powerful when they're behind me. Hey, we're in Shredder Sunday, and I don't know about you, but every year stuff just kind of grows on me. Kind of like, not stuff that I want. It's kind of like a boat where you have barnacles that kind of grow on the bottom of the boat, and it creates a drag on your life. Well, tonight we're going to steam clean your life, and we're going to set you free from that drag. It's going to be amazing. So I want you to start thinking about stuff like Pastor Jurgen said, and then at the end of the service, we're going to shred, and we're going to pray a quick prayer as you shred, and then if you're thinking, man, I need more prayer, feel free to stick around. We have a great worship experience happening at the end of the service as well, so you can stick around and worship. But a lot of you know that I'm kind of a sports guy, and I grew up playing sports. And from the age of 10, I had a vision that I wanted to go to UCLA and play baseball. And it happened because when I was 10, I went to a baseball camp at El Capitan High School out in Lakeside. And the then coach of UCLA baseball, Gary Adams, came and he spoke. And from that moment, I wanted to go to UCLA. I got my UCLA hat, and I just had a dream to play at UCLA. And so time went on, and I had a lot of injuries in high school, so I didn't know if it was going to happen. But my senior year, I got a call from UCLA, and they said, hey, come up. We want you to go on a recruiting trip. And I mean, I was pumped. This was like dream coming to pass. And so I go up to UCLA, and I'll never forget, I went to Jackie Robinson Stadium. That's where we play. And our hitting coach slash recruiting coach came and picked me up in his convertible old school Corvette. And I was pretty much already hooked, but then when I saw that, I was totally hooked. And so he took me to dinner, went to, you know, some of the guys' house, we're having a little party. And so I got to meet some of the guys. And I met one guy, we were playing pool, and he was a freshman, going to be a sophomore. And he's like, hey, man, what position do you play? And I was like, third base. I'm like, what position do you play? And he's like, third base. And it was like this awkward, like, three-second stare down. And so I'm like, oh, man, I'm already making enemies. But anyways, I go home, and I'm full on UCLA. And so when I graduate high school, I go up to school, and I get dropped off. I'm 18 years old. I never left home before for more than maybe a couple of days. And so right when my parents dropped me off, all of a sudden, I felt out of place. I felt unfamiliar. I didn't know anybody. I just knew one person, and he was my roommate. And so I just felt uncomfortable. I mean, I had a 3.5 in high school, but I was now competing with people that all over the world that had like 4-somethings in high school. And this was back in the day. I know people that got rejected going to UCLA with like a 4.3 in high school. And I had a 3.5, and I got in, obviously not because I was smart, but because I could play baseball. But don't hate. Congratulate. But I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't know if I could compete at that level. Until 30 days after I got to school, baseball practice started. And when baseball practice started, everything changed for me. I remember going in the locker room, and I was around unfamiliar people. I didn't know anybody on the team except for one guy, like I said. But I remember changing from my street clothes to my baseball uniform. And at that moment, everything got a little bit easier. I started to feel familiar. I started to feel like me again. My identity was secure because back then I was a baseball player. That's who I was. So my identity got secure, but it wasn't until I put on a uniform. It wasn't until I took off my street clothes and I put on my baseball uniform that I started to feel like me again. I started to be able to dream again and see myself as I dreamed to see myself, playing in the big leagues, being an All-American at UCLA. I started to see myself, but it wasn't until I took some stuff off. I believe if we want to live the life that God wants you and I to live, we got to take some stuff off. We got to take some old mindsets off. God doesn't want us to live a life that is regular or that is ordinary. He wants us to live a life that is extraordinary. But we got to take some stuff off. He doesn't want you to live a life full of fear, full of anxiety, full of chaos, full of hopelessness. He wants you to put on a uniform of faith, of hope, of love, and of power. But to do that, we got to take some stuff off. Everybody say, take it off. The title of my message tonight is Take It Off. Because I believe in 2018, if we want to step into what God wants us to step into, we got to take some stuff off. There's a great passage of scripture found in Mark 10. It's actually found in 3 of the Gospels. And I want to read it to you. And then I want to kind of break it down a little bit. It's about blind Bartimaeus. You may know this story. Can you guys put it up? It says, now they came to Jericho. And then it says, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Next. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside, everybody say, throw it aside. Say, take it off. Take it off. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. What an incredible passage of scripture. Let me just pray. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the truths of the Bible, that they're timeless. I thank you that what worked back then works today. And God, I pray that tonight we would be able to take some stuff off and put some new stuff on as we go into 2018. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. So I want to start back and read, kind of break down this scripture. Verse 46, it says, now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Now you need to understand, Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. So he doesn't really have his own name. He's just a son of somebody else. And Timaeus, I tried to look up Timaeus. The only word I could find that Timaeus means was defiled. That was the only word that I could find. And I saw some Bible scholars think that Timaeus was even blind. So that would make 2 generations of this family blind, 2 generations that had no vision, 2 generations that couldn't see, 2 generations that were begging, which makes the healing power of God even that more powerful, breaking the chains of multiple generations in a moment. Tonight, whatever's been
pestering your family and generations before you can be broken in a moment. One encounter with Jesus Christ can set you free. It can give you vision again. It can cause you to see your future, the future that God has given you. One encounter with God changes everything. Verse 47 says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then they warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. See, I believe that Bartimaeus knew that he wasn't supposed to stay blind. I believe he had a dream in his heart. I believe he had heard the prophecies of the coming Messiah, the one that would heal the brokenhearted, the one that would open the eyes of the blind. He heard Isaiah 35:5 that says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. I believe blind Bartimaeus was sitting rehearsing this moment in his mind. And when he heard Jesus, when he heard the word, he heard the word walking by. Faith rose up on the inside of him. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He heard the word walking by, and faith came on the inside of him, and he began to cry out. He said, this is my moment. This is the moment I've been rehearsing for years. I am not going to let this moment pass me by. So he cried out even more. Faith comes when we hear the word. But he took advantage of it. How many times have you let the word of God go by? How many times have you heard the word and it just slips by your life without taking it like blind Bartimaeus did? He wasn't going to let it go. He seized the moment when he heard, the word. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Some of the greatest miracles in our lives will only come if we're willing to stand still. Sometimes we're so caught up in our lives and our desires and our will that we are never willing to stand still, to be aware of our surroundings, to be interruptible, and we're missing out on miracles. Because Jesus was able to stand still, he was able to cause a blind man to see again. And a story written in the Bible for eternity. But it was because he was willing to stand still. He heard something. He was aware enough to hear something. He heard a man crying out. There were people all around him. I'm sure there were people crying everywhere. But he heard faith. He heard something. He saw potential. And so he stood still and he said, command him to come. And so he came. Are we willing to stand still? Or are we going to walk by people continually just because they don't look like us? Just because they don't talk like us? Just because they don't have the same vision that we have? Or are we willing to stand still and give somebody a chance? Are we willing to believe in somebody? Are we willing to call out the gold in somebody? Are we willing to do that? Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise. He is calling you. Can you imagine blind Bartimaeus at this moment when he was just told to shut up and now they're saying, be of good cheer, get up. He's calling you. When Jesus calls you, you better get up. If Jesus comes to you and calls you, you better be ready to get up, because he may only come once today. You may have to wait a while if you're not willing to get up, but when he calls, you better get up. Blind Bartimaeus was ready. He was ready to seize the moment. This is where it gets good. Verse 50 said, and throwing aside his garment, say, take it off. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. You need to understand, this garment could have been his only possession. This garment was what he would use to beg for alms. It was his identity. It was how the world had labeled him. But he had enough faith to throw aside his garment. He knew if he was going to live the life that God called him to live, he had to take some stuff off. He had to throw something aside. When God calls you, you got to be willing to make some changes. You might have to change the way you talk. You might have to change the way you think. You might have to separate yourself from some relationships. When God calls, you better be willing to change. You better be willing to throw some stuff to the side. if you ever want to see, if you ever want to step in to what God is calling you. We have to take off, be willing to take off the label of man. God, men will try to label you based on what they see. They don't know the dreams that you have. They don't know the visions that God has given you. Don't let man label you. The only one that can label you is the one that created you. His name is Jesus Christ, and he calls you blessed. He labels you prosperous. He calls you healed. He calls you free. Today, tonight is your night. Throw off what man has called you. You aren't addicted. You are free. You aren't bound. Throw it off. Take it off. Verse 51, so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? It's a good thing to know what you want God to do for you if he comes asking. Bart knew, I want to see. I want to see. We need to know what we want God to do for us, because when he comes, if you don't have an answer, Have you ever been in a conversation, surprised by it, or maybe introduced to somebody you weren't meant to talk to? And you get all nervous and you don't know what to say. They're like, what's up? And you're like, yeah, pretty good. How are you? Because you're all nervous, you know, you don't know what to do. How you doing? Not much, you know. Just kicking it. I remember when I first got into ministry, I didn't know how to talk ministry. So I just throw out, God bless you, you know, like. When in doubt, God bless you. But I've been in conversations, and then I leave, and I'm like, what did I just say? They must think I'm an idiot. Think about Bart. If he didn't know what to say when Jesus came, if he forgot who he was talking to because he couldn't see him, and he says, can I have some money? I need to get a Slurpee or whatever. What a missed opportunity. But Bart knew what he wanted. Next week, we're going to write down visions. I want to make sure you know what you want God to do for you. The Bible says, if you ask not, you will have not. The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. God is so secure with himself. Everything we do in the kingdom, we do as a volunteer. We don't have to do anything. God doesn't hold you down and make you do anything. Everything we do is voluntary. I love Bartimaeus because he comes and he gets healed, and Jesus says, go your way. Do what you want to do. You can follow me or not. And then the Bible says immediately he receives his sight and he follows Jesus. So often in church, we come to God. We encounter the power of God, and we encounter an atmosphere where people are flourishing and we get blessed, or we meet our spouse, or we get set free. And then we, instead of following Jesus, we take our own road and we follow the blessing, or we follow the person instead of following the blesser. The one who set you free, the one who blessed you. We gotta be people like Bartimaeus. He received his healing and then he immediately followed Jesus. He didn't go his way, he immediately followed Jesus. We gotta make some changes. If we wanna live the life that God wants us to live, we gotta make some changes. We gotta not just receive that, we gotta follow Jesus. He's worth you following. He's worth it. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for us. So now we have the man who was once sat begging for years on the roadside, begging for alms, is now following Jesus with a vision to save the world. One encounter with Jesus changed everything for Bartimaeus. And one encounter with Jesus can change you forever, forever. See, when Jesus comes into your life, you get filled with potential. You get filled with potential, and so our job is to eliminate all the junk that's surrounding the potential so you can unleash the power that you just got filled with. Have you ever gone to the grocery store and bought some onions?
Anybody like onions in the house? A few people. I just went and bought onions for my wife the other day, and got a bag of onions. You put them in your car, and then when you take them out of your car, there's just stuff everywhere. The crackly skin on the outside, just everywhere. And so then you put it away or whatever, and you have these onions. They don't really smell. They're just kind of kicking it. They're not like beautiful vegetables. They're just sitting there. It's not until you go to cook the onions, it's not until you go to cut the onions, put them in a salad, that you kind of experience the true potency of an onion. They've had that potency, they've had that smell the whole time, but until they peeled away the layers of junk that surrounded the power, the potential was not able to be released. We have to take some stuff off. We have to eliminate some junk so that we can step into and unlock the true potential that's on the inside of us. Paul understood this. In the New Testament, Galatians 2:20. And this is actually the verse that God spoke to me for me for 2018. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. John the Baptist said, I must decrease that he may increase. We're never going to reach our full potential until we start to take off some stuff and allow that potential to flourish. Because it's the crucifixion of our flesh that allows the resurrection power of Christ to live in you and through you. But if we continue to lean on our flesh, if we continue to lean on our desires, we will never actually experience the true power and potency of the Holy Spirit that's living in you. So we got to take some stuff off, but it would be awkward if we never put some stuff back on. Ephesians 4:17 says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Verse 22, that you put off, say put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, say new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So we need to take off the old man and we need to put on the new man in Christ, righteousness, holiness, faith, obedience. We need to put something on in order to walk in what God wants us to walk in. We gotta not just take some stuff off, but we gotta put some stuff back on. When you put on the new man, you will start to feel who you were really created to be. You see, the Bible says that we're aliens in this world. We're not meant to fit in here. And so if you try to fit in here, you'll feel uncomfortable. It'll still be unfamiliar. You won't quite fit. But when you put on Christ, when you put on the new man, kind of like when I put on my baseball uniform, all of a sudden your identity becomes secure. All of a sudden you can dream and see what God sees, but you got to put something on. You start to feel like a citizen again, but not a citizen of this world, one of a higher elevation, one of heaven. And you'll start to live a life that God's called you to live. But we got to take some stuff off. We got to put some stuff back on. One of the most dangerous things that we can hang on to in our past is unforgiveness. And as I prepared this message, this is what God told me was going to be the most powerful breakthrough tonight, is going to be those choosing to forgive. It's one of the hardest things to do, but it is the most powerful thing that you can do. We live in an imperfect world where people hurt us and it causes pain. And we can choose to forgive those people, or we can choose to walk in unforgiveness. When you walk in unforgiveness, it binds you to your past. It puts a drag on your life. John 20:23 says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Unforgiveness will keep you bound to your past. It will cause you to retain the pain of the hurt that they have caused you. You've already been hurt. Like if you have unforgiveness, you've already been hurt. Why let that hurt continue to drip pain on your life for months and years moving forward? We got to take it off. We got to choose to forgive.
It's not easy, but it's necessary. And I'm not trying to belittle the pain that you feel. My goodness. Some people have intentionally hurt us. Some people have unintentionally hurt us. And while you're living in pain, they have no idea what happened. But yet, every day we're bitter, we're angry, we're bound, we're retaining the pain. At some point, we have to choose to forgive. We literally have to sacrifice how we feel and choose to forgive, even though they don't deserve it. We never deserve to be forgiven. Jesus died on a cross before we ever deserved anything. I'm thankful for that. So despite our feelings, we have to choose to forgive. That's actually what Jesus did. I believe Jesus came to earth from heaven with a desire to die on the cross to forgive us our sins. But there came a time in the Garden of Gethsemane when all of a sudden things shifted. The reality of the crucifixion was before him. And three times in the garden, he's sweating blood. He says, God, is there another way? Can this cup pass from me? And he said, but not my will, your will be done. Not my will, your will be done. Not my will, your will be done. And he went to the cross. He sacrificed his feelings, his desires to forgive. And because he did that, he unlocked billions of people that now are no longer feeling the pain of their sin because Jesus was willing to sacrifice his feelings to forgive our sins. It's not easy, but it's necessary. I called my mom to see if I could share this, and she said yes. So if you're watching, hey, Mom. A couple of years ago, my mom was sitting in this one of the seats that you're sitting in, probably back there. That's where she sits. And she had been suffering with unforgiveness. She worked with in the same company for 30 years. She gave everything to this company, her whole livelihood. She served. And she served, always with the best intent, with the best interest of her boss and of the company. She would put that before her own desires. And if you know my mom, you would know that that's true. So for 30 years, she does this. At the end of her 30 years, when she was coming up on retirement, she wasn't treated very well. There wasn't a whole lot of thanks. There wasn't a whole lot of consideration for what she had done over 30 years. Of sacrificing for this company. And yeah, she had some great times. It wasn't all bad. But then even after she retired, there was some talking behind her back and some things that were said to other people in the company, high up people in the company that she ran for 30 years. She was the high up person. But some rumors went out based on a miscalculation, a mistake by the new person that was blaming my mom. And so you can imagine, she just felt horrible. She felt vilified. She felt lied about. And so she developed anger. She developed bitterness. And this is what she told me today. She said that she couldn't sleep. She would have nightmares about this. She would wake up in the middle of the night and she'd be thinking about it. She couldn't go back to sleep. It affected her health. Unforgiveness can affect your health. She would try and tell other people how bad it was so that they would feel bad for her. And this is what she said. She said, it was so strange, John. She said that even though I was in pain, even though I was suffering, I didn't want to let it go. It was like it gave her an excuse to be sad or a victim or mad. And so whenever she had a bad day, she could just blame the situation. So even though it was causing pain and she knew it, she couldn't get rid of it. She couldn't take it off. She couldn't forgive. But one day, she made a decision. In the house of God, this is a couple of years ago, January, in one of these services. And she made a decision. She said, in that service, God spoke to her and said, now is the time. Now is the time to forgive this person for what he's done to you. And so she made that decision in that service 2 years ago, January. And she said, from that moment that God spoke to her, she could have gone and had lunch with him and had zero ill feelings towards him. And to this day, She has zero ill feelings towards him. She wants him to be successful. She wants him to live a great life. She has fully forgiven him. So no longer does the hurt that caused that pain drip on her life. It's done. It's finished. She's not sick. She's sleeping better. She's not bitter and angry all the time. She's full of joy. But it had her bound for years. A couple of years she was bound by this thing. But in a moment, I believe this, Jesus came as a gift from heaven to forgive us so that we don't have to feel the full pain and judgment of our sins. Then he gave us forgiveness as a gift so that we don't have to feel the pain of other sins against us. Forgiveness is a gift. Even though they don't deserve it, you deserve it. You deserve to be free. Jesus died so you could be free, not bound, and retain pain that he's already forgiven you for. Unforgiveness. If that's you today, I want you to write down that person. I want you to write down that incident. Because I'm telling you, when you come and shred, when you get prayer, that thing is going to break off of your life. And you're going to find you can now step into the life and the quality of life that God has called you to. Would you just close your eyes and bow your head for a moment? There might be some people here who have never accepted the forgiveness of Jesus, never accepted the grace that Jesus Christ brings. Maybe you didn't know that Jesus has forgiven you for all your sins that you've done and all the sins that you might do. But today you're having a realization as you come into 2018, thinking, man, I wanna see, how do I unlock the potential that's inside of me? I can tell you, step one is to invite Jesus into your life. He is your Lord and your Savior. He died on a cross thousands of years ago to set you free and to set you up for a great life and a great future. So if that's you today and you've never accepted Christ in your life, you've never said, invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I'm gonna give you a chance in a second to respond. And Jesus is gonna come into your life in a 20-second prayer. Everything's gonna change. Or maybe you're here tonight and some stuff happened in 2017 or even further back in time and you once were following Jesus, but now you've kind of taken your life back, which is an easy thing to do in this life because it's so busy and crazy. But tonight you're saying, you know what? I want to get back into alignment with Jesus so that I can achieve the full potential that he's put on the inside of me. I want to crucify my own flesh, my own will, my own desires, and accept him. If you're one of those two people, you've never given your life to Christ, or maybe one time you did, but you've taken your life back, I want you right now, while every eye closed and head bowed, just to slip up your hand where you are so that I can pray for you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you over here to my left. God bless you up to the left. Thank you. God bless you right here in the front. Thank you. Once I see your hand, you can put it down. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. God bless you. Incredible. Oh, the Holy Spirit's moving all across this place. Is there one more? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, let's go to 2018. Different than we were in 2017. With every eye closed and head bowed, I would love it if you would just repeat this prayer after me. Everybody in the whole building, say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, tonight, I choose you. I ask that you would come into my life, that you would transform my life. And tonight I declare, I am saved, that heaven is my home, and God is my Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, why don't we give those people a hand that raised their hand? God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. The Bible says, for those who are in Christ, old things pass away, behold, all things become new. You are in for an extraordinary 2018. Right over here, on your way out, we have a response lounge. And I would love it if you would take your friend or your family member, stop by the Response Lounge, and we want to give you a book. We want to give you a book called Following Jesus that'll just help you along on your journey. We also want to give you a Bible. If you need a Bible, we'd love to give you a Bible. Sometimes the Bible is overwhelming, so that Following Jesus book will just help you on your journey. I'm so proud of you for making that bold declaration tonight. And I'm telling you, 2018 is going to be your greatest year yet. Amen? Why don't you all stand to your feet? Have you written something down? You ready to shred? You ready to take it off? Come on, one more time. Say, take it off. In just a minute, I'm gonna pray, and I'm gonna invite the ministry team up actually right now, and we're gonna release the congregation. You guys can come forward and shred those cards, or if you brought a bad report, you can shred those. The team's gonna sing some songs, and do this. When you shred your card, if you're thinking, man, I can use some extra prayer, as soon as everybody's done shredding, we're going to continue to worship. Come back up and get prayer. I don't want you to go into tomorrow with the stuff that you're holding on to. I don't want there to be any kind of drag on your life. So come on, let's look to Jesus. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I take authority over every circumstance, over every issue, over every sickness, over every disease, over every wrong mindset. In Jesus' name, I break your power. I declare, Father, right now, as we shred those things that have bound us in the past, that have created a drag in our life, Father, I thank you that we're not going to have to deal with those things in 2018. Father, I thank you that you are taking us to a new level, to a new place this year in 2018. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.